Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the final hour of the program. Coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Looks like we made it. Good news for all of you. Just one more hour of me, Jim, back from vacation on Monday. Phone number remains the same. 1-800-636-8686. You can keep the interaction going on Twitter. BW Weber. Weber with two B's. A couple more emails coming your way from RomeAndHaveATake.com. Mostly football, final hour of the program. We will get back to the nonsense. Floyd and Connor trying to sell tickets as their world tour continued yesterday in Brooklyn. But because football is king, and I want to remain employed in my full-time job, if you don't know who I am, and I think that really is the prevailing thought, who is this dude? Why is he so arrogant? Coming up in 20 minutes, I'll remind Willie McGinnis, who I'm sure has forgotten. No, Willie's actually a friend. We worked together at Fox and NFL Network. I used to host the morning show, co-host with Ensemble, much like Kyle Brandt is doing. But Kyle's doing a much better job because I only lasted 1 year and a show that was locally produced here in Southern California. We went on the air at 3 o'clock in the morning. Plus, Kyle is more talented than I. So these days, you can check me out talking NFL with Cordell Stewart every afternoon on TuneIn, world's largest audio network, your everything audio app, streaming service that's the Netflix of audio. Best way to catch the Jim Rome Show. If you're on the road, can't find a local affiliate. Plus, we have the Daily Jungle podcast every day. Willie McGinnis in 20 minutes. Then, 35 minutes from now, Thursday brings an event that could create history in the jungle. That's probably why Jim took this week off, to get ready for what's coming up next week. The juice could be getting loose. OJ with a parole hearing in Nevada coming up next week will set the scene before I say goodbye. I mentioned that these emails, in my view, are too long, mostly because, like Connor alleges that Floyd has issues with literacy, I can't read. It's a big challenge. That's why I yell into this microphone. I'm just trying to bluff my way through it. So here's an email that I think actually fits what I'm looking for. Sup? What? You said keep it short. Jacob, in on the bit. Murph in Tampa tweeting at me. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Very sly Animal House reference before. Have a beer, don't cost nothing. Like most sports talk radio hosts, I am caught late 70s, early 80s, and then I gave up on life. But not everyone appreciates my style, and I understand that. Darren and Kuna, I don't care who called this host a bum. What I want to know is, who is this bum? I don't know. We're doing haikus? I can't read, I'm telling you. I do my best to riff, and that was clever, and I couldn't get through it. All right, you want more red meat, and the audience is never wrong, so let's spend a couple minutes on Connor and Floyd, then we'll get to the NFL. Tour continued in Brooklyn. By now you know Connor's doing everything he can to get you to throw $100 away on a fight he cannot win, and he's been accused not only based on his repeated use of the word boy, but some other vile things of being a racist. Connor responded yesterday in New York City.
Let's address the race. A lot of media seem to be saying I'm against black people. That's absolutely ridiculous. Do they not know I'm half black? I'm half black from the belly button down.
Then the crowd went wild. The only mildly entertaining thing about the circus has been the crowd reaction, but I think it's also pretty sad commentary to where we are as a sporting culture in 2017, as I get deep on a Friday. Here's Connor after the festivities, a bit more subdued interacting with the media.
I'm just having fun with everything, whether it's attire, whether it's verbal, whether it's just, it's just a great show. What a great time to be a fight fan, and what an even better time to be actually involved in it. I'm very grateful of it, and I'm very proud of it. And I'm just a young man enjoying myself.
But we don't want that. I mean, what's the point of that? Hey, Connor, you got to stay in character. If you're going to tell Floyd to dance for you, you got to dance for us as well. Floyd took a while to fully embrace the WWE methodology here. He was subdued when they started the tour earlier this week in Southern California, revving it up yesterday in Brooklyn.
I don't just smell victory. You know what I smell?
I smell a...
Okay. I smell a colossal waste of time. I smell a scam. I smell a cash grab for a dude who apparently needs the money. So we caught the report earlier this week. Floyd owes a tax bill from 2015 to the IRS of $22 million, and they want their money. Now, you're hearing from Floyd's camp. It's really a liquidity issue. He's got the money, but I'm sure they're tied up in long-term investments, and he just doesn't have the cash on hand. Well, come to find out, yesterday, he owes the IRS another chunk of money to the tune of $7 million from 2010. So he's on the hook for $29 million. That's based on what we know. What else is out there? So you know what this is all about, and we knew this from day one. And don't tell me it's a curiosity. Don't tell me about Buster Douglas on that Saturday night in Tokyo. Buster Douglas was actually a fighter. Conor McGregor's not a boxer. I know he's knocked some dudes out in the octagon. Different arena, different gloves, taking on the best defensive fighter of his generation. So if you are intoxicated by this, fine. I'm going away, and I work a lot. I probably won't be back for a long time. Jim, I'm sure, will have all the principals on, Dana White, and these guys have been brilliant because think about the timing of the tour this week. There's nothing going on. So baseball had the Home Run Derby on Monday, got a massive TV rating. The All-Star Game you didn't watch again because nobody cares about baseball nationally the way we used to. On Tuesday night, America's Got Talent on NBC beat the All-Star Game with a rating just slightly higher than last year, which was the least watched All-Star Game in baseball history. So this fills a void. Think about when the fight's coming up, August 26th, right before college football revs up, as we discussed with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. You have Florida State, Alabama coming up. Then you have the NFL. So they found the right fallow period on the sports calendar. I understand the novelty aspect to it. A guy wrestling a bear would be more entertaining, more competitive, same outcome. Unless Floyd carries Conor McGregor because he needs the money for a rematch, unless he makes it look good for the judges just to get you dupes to throw away another $100, this is going to be something that I think we put on the same level as Thunderlips versus Rocky Balboa as Hulk Hogan ran wild in Rocky III. Willie McGinnis joins us in 10 minutes. Three-time Super Bowl champion. Check him out on NFL Network tonight. NFL Total Access comes your way, 7 Eastern. In advance of that conversation, let's spend a couple minutes on the burden of expectations, because as we get closer to rookies showing up on Wednesday, to me, that means football's officially back. Training camps are connected to storylines. So we talked about worst to first. Dallas did it last year. How about pressure? Which individual player is facing the most pressure this year? And you typically start at the top of any draft and think about what happened to Jared Goff a year ago. And if you tracked his career at Cal Berkeley, I was never sold he was going to be a franchise quarterback. To me, it was all motivated by business reasons. The Rams wanted a young face of the franchise for folks here in Southern California to gravitate around. Rams started 3-1, imploded down the stretch. I think they squandered a ton of goodwill, and I don't know if Jared Goff can play at all. So if we're thinking about the outlook this year and pressure, we could start at the top of the draft, but it's different for a defensive player in Myles Garrett. I don't think there's pressure in playing in Cleveland, and the Browns weren't as bad as you think. You got to actually watch games. I know the NFL is an easy topic for anybody barking into a microphone because of the highlight aspect of it, but if you watch games, you know, Cleveland was probably a four-win team. They're not going to the playoffs, but they weren't that abysmal. Still, a lot of pundits accused Garrett of taking plays off second half of last year at Texas A&M, overlooking the fact that he was dealing with an ankle injury. I don't think he's going to have to manage expectations because no one thinks he's going to go out there and be Bruce Smith. And nobody thinks he's going to guide Cleveland anywhere because we still don't know who the quarterback in Cleveland is. And we've talked about, what, 24 quarterbacks in Cleveland dating back to 1999? And do you really want to handicap that quote-unquote QB competition between Cody Kessler, Deshaun Kizer coming out of Notre Dame, and Brock Osweiler, who stole money a year ago in Houston. So if we're talking about real pressure, I think it centers on America's team. And I don't want to have the observation right now about what's wrong with the Cowboys, but let's acknowledge it was another challenging offseason. More suspensions. David Irving out for the first four games this season after getting popped for PEDs. Why? Because you have the GM and the owner being the same dude. And Jerry Jones is never going to second guess himself. So you bring in Greg Hardy. Doesn't work out. Are there consequences? No, because it's the same guy making that decision. But that guy, Jerry Jones, does deserve some credit for drafting Dak Prescott. And that's the player, I think, who's dealing with the most pressure as an individual this season. Because remember, Dak should have been a second-round pick a year ago. Fell to the fourth round because of the arrest prior to the draft. Although, very rarely do we bring up the fact that, importantly, he was acquitted of that charge. But if you're thinking about how that draft played out, he waited until round four and saw guys like Connor Cook go in the second round. Christian Hackenberg, who was so overwhelmed that the Jets wouldn't even put him on the field. And think about the sequence of events it took for Dak even to get the opportunity. First, Kellen Moore had to get hurt. Then Tony Romo went down. Dak took over, never looked back. So I don't think Dak's going to implode. That's not the point I'm making here. I think he handled the pressure that came with all of the hype surrounding being the quarterback of the team that you love and hate the most brilliantly. I'm not anti-Dak at all. My question is, can he be as efficient this year as he was last year? Because we know a year ago, on his way to earning Rookie of the Year honors, he got virtually no help from the defense. Now, we know the help he did receive, playing behind the best offensive line in all of football, and Ezekiel Elliott, who, according to Adam Schefter again today on ESPN, is still being scrutinized by the league for allegations of domestic violence a year ago. Once more, we're talking about the Cowboys with allegations, and we don't know the facts when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. So Dak's still going to have those building blocks. Tremendous offensive line. The best running back in all of football, just based on production a year ago. And we don't see sophomore slumps much when it comes to running backs, unless we're talking about Todd Gurley with the Rams. Still, because that defense was middle of the road and now has to replace three quarters of the secondary, no Irving coming off the edge for four games, I think Dak's going to feel pressure to do more. Plus, think about how immaculate the stats were a year ago. 23 touchdowns, just four picks. It's human nature to have a little bit of a letdown. I don't think he can play as cleanly, and we know how it works in the National Football League. How much time do you think defensive coordinators have spent this offseason breaking down every play of every Cowboy game so they're going to catch up to Dak to a degree? So I'm not burying him. I think he's going to be a very capable frontline starter for a decade to come, but if we're talking about pressure, I need to see more from Dak in year two. 1-800-636-8686. Tweet at me, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. OJ conversation to wrap up the program. 40 past the hour straight ahead. More NFL. How much separation is there between the Patriots and everyone else? We'll find out from three-time Super Bowl champion, Patriot icon Willie McGinnis of NFL Network. You're in the jungle on a Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Hey, Weber back with you in for Jim Rome, home stretch on a Friday. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Let's talk more football with an old friend, Willie McGinnis from NFL Network, three-time Super Bowl champion. Check him out tonight on NFL Total Access, 7 Eastern. Follow him on Twitter. It's Willie McGinnis. Willie, how are you?
Be well. What's going on, brother?
I am feeling good because I'm in Jim Rome's big chair, and I'm feeling even better talking with you. So let's start with your old team, and you now are an objective journalist, but let's tell it like it is. Patriots, reigning champs, they've had a series of tremendous moves in the offseason, adding quality players like Brandon Cooks. How much separation do you see between the Patriots and everybody else?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say everybody else because I think a lot of teams got better in the off season. But as far as the Patriots getting better, traditionally you don't really see them make big jumps in free agency. Maybe with one player, but not with multiple players like they did in this off season. And I just think they put the entire NFL on alert, man, when they went out and got some of the best players that were available in free agency.
We saw you on the field in Houston postgame with the Lombardi Trophy. So let's focus on the team that suffered the greatest collapse in Super Bowl history. How do you think Atlanta bounces back from what went down in the Super Bowl? And as you know, they're replacing both coordinators.
You know, I can relate. In 96, we had a big loss to the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't say we had a huge lead like they had in this game, but I believe in Dan Quinn. I believe in the culture that he's building down in Atlanta. I like what the players are saying, the brotherhood. I like how they've come together and made it about team instead of individuals. And that's the special ingredient you need to be successful in the league. You see that with the Patriots. You see that with the Seattle Seahawks. You see that with a couple of other teams. And once the players start to understand that it's about team and they put individualism second and you get individual success through team success, that makes them dangerous. And they have some really, really talented players on that roster, so that doesn't hurt either.
Getting you set for the start of NFL training camps with rookies reporting on Wednesday with an old friend, Willie McGinnis, NFL Network. Willie, you know the Southern California sports landscape well. You grew up here, starred at USC. So how do you see the quote-unquote battle for L.A.? Who's going to be more interesting on the field, the Rams or the Chargers?
Well, you know, it's two different. You got two new head coaches just trying to fill their way. You got a team in the Rams where you know you got a solid defense. You got a running game. You're trying to develop a quarterback. You're trying to instill a culture and change the culture of the team and the attitudes. And I think they got a young and exciting head coach in McVay. I talked to him several times. I like his direction. I love his energy. Sounds like the players are gravitating towards that. And then you talk about the San Diego Chargers, who – I mean, I would say about 8 or 9 games, they lost by 8 points or less. So they were in almost every single football game they played last year. They just got to figure out how to finish football games. They got a stud veteran at the quarterback position. They have talented players. They did their thing in the offseason in the draft. They went out and got some help from Phillip on the offensive line and at the receiver position. The defense has been fortified. I think these teams are going to be exciting to watch them rebuild and get ready and retool up. I'm not going to sit here and say that these teams are going to be in the Super Bowl or be playing for the NFC or AFC championship, but I like the direction that they're headed. And I think they have talented players and they got fresh starts. That's always good with teams.
Willie McGinnis of NFL Network is our guest. Check him out tonight in primetime, NFL Total Access, 7 Eastern. So let's use this conversation as your walkthrough for TV tonight. You'll be talking about the franchise tag deadline coming up on Monday. What's the likelihood Kirk Cousins gets the long-term contract he's looking for before Monday, Willie?
B-Web, you know, that's interesting, man. I don't know if Kirk Cousins really wants a long-term contract in Washington. I know there's been efforts to try to get him that deal, and I know that it's probably not where he wanted it to be initially, but I think the Washington Redskins are in a situation where they have to get this done, else they're going to lose Kirk Cousins. I don't think they're going to go into another year with the franchise tag paying him somewhere north of $34 million. One, I don't think he's a top five quarterback that deserves that much money, but that's what the market dictates. So he's in a great position. He is one of the quarterbacks that's solid, and he has a lot of potential to be really, really good. And because of the lack of really good quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, he's one of those guys that's going to be coveted. So it's interesting that, you know, you bring it up and you talk free agency. He's in a great position. He holds all the cards. I just don't think the long-term solution is going to be in Washington. I think he's going to be somewhere else.
How about the franchise tag situation with Le'Veon Bell, who, as you know, has not accepted that tender yet? I'm typically pro-player, but I got to side with the Steelers, Willie, when they have to make a business decision with Le'Veon Bell. Remember, he's getting $12 million with the tender this year for two reasons. He keeps getting hurt, and he keeps getting suspended.
Yeah, I agree. And there's some concern when you talk about that. But, you know, if you talk to the kid, he's a really bright kid. He's very talented. We don't have to talk about all the stuff on the field. We know where he stands with that. And I could see both sides from the player and from the organization. Now, from the player, you're looking at it the same way. I've been injured. I've only had one healthy season since I've been in the league, so I do need some security. So I would like to sign a long-term deal. But at the end of the day, you pass up on that $12.1 million, you'd be the highest paid running back in the league pretty much. You can't make that money up. So even if he signs the tag and gets that $12.1 million and then he gets a long-term deal, you can never make that $12 million up you turn down or you sit out on. So when I look at Le'Veon Bell, and if I'm a Steeler fan and I'm a Steelers organization, I'm saying I absolutely need to have this kid on my roster. We got to figure this out. We got to come to some type of terms and conditions in his contract where if he gets suspended or something happens off the field, then maybe he has to give money back or something like that. But we have to be creative, and we really have to figure this out because he's a rare talent. He makes that team better, and he is the best at his position when he's 100% healthy.
Final question. I think I learned how to frame football topics during my year at NFL Network, even though it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't remember anything about that year. Rookie showing up on Wednesday. Who's going to be the most impactful first-year player of them all?
Oh, wow. I like the kid Barnett with the Philadelphia Eagles. Derek Barnett, the outside defensive end slash outside linebacker. I like Corey Davis with the Tennessee Titans. I think I would keep my eye. If I had to pick one guy from defense or one guy from offense, those would be the two guys I'd be excited about.
Willie, you're the best. Always a pleasure. Say hi to all of our mutual friends and look forward to chatting with you down the road. Thanks, Willie.
Always a pleasure, B-Web. Thank you.
Willie McGinnis, we worked together at Fox. Then he went big-time NFL Network. I tried to follow him. They put me on the morning show. 3 o'clock in the morning, and I lasted about a year. That's probably as best as I could have hoped for. Check out Willie in primetime tonight because he's a three-time Super Bowl champion. NFL Total Access, 7 Eastern. Follow him on Twitter, at Willie McGinnis. Straight ahead, we have a lot of business to attend to. We have your O'Reilly Auto Parts Ask the Pros question, a huge treat or tweet. It'll be a treat if I can say it. Plus, Thursday brings an event that could create jungle history. It's got nothing to do with the smack-off. The juice could be getting loose. But first, it's time for a sports update. Brian Weber back with you. In for Jim Rome, final segment, the best sentence I could utter. Jim, back with you on Monday. Thank you for enduring me for the last 2 days. I appreciate all the tweets. Good or bad, we can continue that conversation. BW Weber, Weber with two B's, huge tweet on the way. Got the Ask the Pros as well, and an OJ observation, because I think that's the real reason why Jim took this week off, wants to be fully prepped for a day that could change jungle history coming up next week. Want to thank our guests before we get busy at the end of this segment. Steve Kuyler, BasketballInsiders.com, talking NBA college football conversation with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. Talk some baseball for the old school fans with Joe Sheehan from Sports Illustrated. And always a pleasure to chat with my friend, my dear friend, Willie McGinnis from NFL Network. I realize whomever is sitting in this chair has an honor and also a little bit of a dilemma, because Jim is the best in our business, and you guys are a huge part of the program with your passion and loyalty. So in terms of my approach, and hopefully I can fill in down the road as scheduling permits, I do my best to split the difference. Some fill-in hosts make it 3 hours of grab ass, which is fine, and that's a terrific approach, and many clones are happy. Others, I'm talking about a 20-year sample size here, completely shun the jungle motif and just go hot takes for 3 hours. I did my best to go down the middle. probably offending both sides, but there was a game plan, there was a strategy, and I'm sure I did not achieve those goals. All right, it's time now for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Ask the Pros question. You, the clones, get to submit a question. That's CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. Hurry into O'Reilly Auto Parts right now. Sign up and start earning every time you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And I'll take you behind the curtain. I did not choose this question because it'll be self-gloss. You can blame our producer, Austin, who did a great job the last couple days. Also, thanks to James, our technical producer. Bella B., a regular from Calgary, writes, "Hi, Brian. You've got the great, quote-unquote, radio voice. Did your voice choose your career, or did you always know that you wanted to get into sportscasting?" Thanks, B. Good question. And yes, I'd love to talk about myself for 10 minutes. I will do this in 2 minutes. This was an accidental career path. Jim tells the story of having Tom Brokaw as the broadcast idol, showing up at a broadcasting seminar, and Tom helping him get his car from the valet because Jim was short on cash. For me, the icons of the 80s in our business that really stood out, and I was a huge sports fan but never thought about this career path until I got lucky to get into the college I went to when I was the only one who wanted to be a broadcaster. It wasn't Syracuse, wasn't Missouri, wasn't Northwestern. But I gravitated towards Jim Lampley, Juggle Legend, Bob Costas. Those were the guys that stood out to me, never imagining I would be as talented, because I'm not, nor have their kind of success. But I always cared and loved sports, and it was something that was passionate all the way through my childhood. So when I got into college and I wandered down to the college radio station at my school, people wind up founding Yahoo and Google and do things a little bit more memorable than yelling into a microphone. I was the only one who wanted to be a sportscaster, and through a series of happy accidents, here I am. So no, it was not a vocation based on, I have a giant voice and you will listen to me. It was the right opportunity, meeting, hopefully, a lot of preparation and a little bit of hard work. But let's be honest, any day that I'm barking into a microphone is not a real day of work. Other than wrapping it up with gusto, next week is going to be a monumental day here in the jungle. Because if you don't know, mark it on your calendar. OJ has his parole hearing in Nevada on Thursday. 6 days from today, OJ takes on this show have been legendary. Although it does feel like, if we get serious for 30 seconds before I wrap up another week of pondering, or at least the last couple days, pondering into the abyss that is sports talk radio, most of us lose sight of the fact we're talking about a double murder in 1994 and forget about the particulars of how that verdict was arrived at. You know what happened in Nevada? OJ probably got oversentenced, 9 to 33 years. Certainly a make good based on what happened in Southern California as Lance Ito lost control of his courtroom and you had a runaway jury looking for payback after decades of bad acts by the LAPD. So OJ got that out of jail free card. And then, of course, he messed it up because we're talking about OJ here. And if you haven't seen the documentary Made in America on ESPN, check it out this weekend. Slow weekend in the world of sports. You get the British Open next weekend. If you're looking for a good watch, you can binge watch the entire thing. The OJ drama on FX I thought was well done, although I didn't buy Travolta's Robert Shapiro. But check out the documentary. I'm sure you've seen it by now. Much better than watching Mike and the Mad Dog that aired this week. Here's the takeaway of that show when I grew up listening to those guys. Can you tell? Two blowhards making a lot of money, couldn't get along, and blew up the act. But we know what OJ has meant to this show for better or for worse, and we know why he's behind bars this time. And to me, it's all connected to what happened in 1994. But the particulars of this case, if you don't recall, really involved a bunch of stooges with OJ who couldn't do anything right. They couldn't figure out which hotel room to go to. So you have the security footage of these dopes wandering around that crappy hotel in Vegas. Some of them brought guns. OJ tried to go thug life. And of course, it was all caught on tape. So OJ has gotten what he's deserved. Well, what he deserved would be lethal injection. And I hope he's carried out in a body bag years from now. I'll do one more wrestling reference before we say goodbye. As Tony Schiavone said years ago about Hulk Hogan, OJ can go straight to hell. But this isn't a conversation about guilt or innocence. It's about the culture that was connected to the original OJ case and what it says about all of us. The notion that if you are rich and famous, you can probably get away with just about anything. And there is a certain segment of folks tweeting and listening right now who still believe a sports hero couldn't do anything wrong despite a mountain of evidence. Forget about the DNA. To you, it's all about OJ at USC all over again. And remember, all of this happened prior to the internet getting big, way before social media. Can you imagine if OJ had the ability to tweet from that courtroom in downtown Los Angeles from Johnny Cochran's cell phone, or if OJ had an Instagram account? And if he is granted parole, and I don't think he will be, Jim will probably have Roger Cossack or legal analyst on at some point. And remember, if he gets the positive review he's looking for next week, he could be out as soon as October 1st. I'm not buying it for the obvious reasons. Not in that state and not connected to the person that we're focusing on here. OJ can't be walking free. Even though I might be wrong here, and I've been wrong several thousand times the last day and a half. Saw the story last night. The prosecutor in Nevada said he thought OJ would get out because of a couple factors. Quote unquote, he's been a model citizen. Secondly, because he's now 70, there's a notion of not wanting folks to pass away behind bars still. We're talking about OJ and we're talking about that state. But if he gets out, what next? Is he going to call into this show? Is he going to start looking for the real killers again on any golf course that will take him? We know he's going to continue to hide his money, so hopefully the Goldman family can get every dime they can. But you know where you're going to see him. Autograph conventions. Because he needs the money. And he's addicted to your adulation. OJ, according to reports, still gets fan mail in jail. What happens when he's out there walking around among us? How many of you are going to tweet at OJ Simpson? Because you're obsessed with celebrities. Especially him. Plus, if he gets out, you know what's coming next. A terrible, unwatchable reality show. But we'll watch, and this is a big stretch, but we'll watch for a similar rationale as to why we're going to watch, or the vast majority of you are going to watch, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. You want something different from daily life. You'd like to believe that there's something a little bit more exciting than what you've done Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's why we love sports. You know the cliches I can spew here. Drama without a script. The ultimate reality show. It's something that's bigger than all of us. We certainly want to embrace excellence. But in terms of this nonsensical fight, and I'll wrap up the OJ rant in a second. In terms of what's coming up in August in Vegas, do you really think this thing is going to be competitive at all? Unless Floyd truly has the financial motivation and needs every dollar he can garner, because according to reports, he's in hock to the IRS for nearly $30 million. Just use your brain. We're talking about a transcendent defensive fighter who has eluded opponents year after year, able just to jab enough to keep it interesting, skillful when it goes to the cards, against a guy who's a phenomenal talker, Conor McGregor. Best talker in all of sports dating back to Muhammad Ali. But this is not a smack-off, which is coming up July 28th. This is not a rhetorical debate. These guys actually have to, quote-unquote, get it on. So I'm in the vast minority here, and I'm not telling you how to live your life. It's your money. And probably now, especially because folks get so creative, you can find a way to get that fight for free and just finagle your way through the internet. Or if you have 10 friends, and based on most of your tweets, I'm guessing you don't. But if you can find six other people who can kick in a few bucks, or you're going to collect cans that week to pay the freight, Yeah, maybe it's a little bit more manageable financially. But don't you know what's coming up? Do you really think Connor's going to land one punch? That's the prop bet. Not the idea that Connor thinks he's got to take out Floyd in four, because that's the only time he has a chance. I know that is gaining some traction in Las Vegas, but I think the more intriguing proposition would be under over for meaningful punches Conor McGregor is going to land when we get to Vegas. But this tells us all about the state of boxing and the state of mixed martial arts to a degree. UFC went for $4 billion in that private equity move a year ago. Think about where that sport is. Ronda Rousey, probably done and never coming back. John Bones Jones just can't keep his life together. How many stars really move the needle now in the octagon? I'm not saying the sport's going to implode, but if we think about the rise and fall of sports, Wimbledon going on. Did I mention I spent 12 years at Tennis Channel? I want to get a few more bio notes in before we say goodbye. In the mid-1980s, especially because of the personalities that were American connected to tennis, tennis was a big deal in the States. Now, if you spent more than 10 seconds acknowledging the greatness of Roger Federer, you should be unemployed. NASCAR has kind of come and gone. And NASCAR offers tremendous guest opportunities. Jim will talk to drivers whenever they want to come on. Jimmy Johnson is always phenomenal. They know how to sell. They know how to talk. But remember, less than 15 years ago when NASCAR was the next big thing, what's happened there? And boxing, unfortunately, is dead and it's never coming back. So enjoy this spectacle. Embrace it for the farce that it is. But forgive me if I don't care about it at all. And I'm not trying to be high and mighty. I'm not trying to be more pious than I come across. And I'm aware that perception is reality. Just strikes me with Triple G and Canelo Alvarez coming up in September. If you're going to spend your money, wait for something that actually matters. We have one more thing that matters before we wrap it up. Time for the huge tweets brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Reward members earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. Today's huge tweet winner will get a $50 gift card thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The winner, Chris in Montana. I thought this week was called Dead Week because of the guest hosts at B.W. Weber. That sums it up, huh? And the notion that nothing is going on is wrong. Of course, there's a lot of stuff that we have been dissecting. And the tweets have been terrific. And you can pound away, metaphorically, over the weekend, like 512 Lumber. B.W. Weber, you did a good job going down the middle. Not as well as I did. Middle of the house. Hey-o, Billy Joel.
Now John at the bar is a friend of mine. Gets me my drinks for free.
I had somebody comparing me to Dexter Manley earlier because, by my own admission, I can't read. So let's recap. Bump Smack was thrown into the mix. Certainly many personal appearance jokes, mostly directed at me. Fat with a P comes to mind. I got OJ in. I feel good about that. That was not really a stretch. That was actually newsworthy. More NFL than you wanted to. Folks, the NFL is a $13 billion industry. I should have talked nothing but NFL the last 2 days. I felt an obligation to do an actual talk show because the NBA has done a marvelous job of transforming our interest in the offseason. And apparently someone's watching baseball because it's a $9 billion industry. Always great to be a part of this show. Many people to thank. First and foremost, Jim, for allowing me to destroy the program the last 2 days. Executive producer Adam Hawk. Today's producer, Austin Huff, did an outstanding job, as did our technical producer, James Kelly. Thanks to the Lady Bookers as well. Fabulous to work with all of you. Looks like we made it. Jim is back on Monday. Let's keep the conversation going on Twitter with all of those T's. B.W. Weber. Weber with two B's. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Have a great weekend here on CBS Sports Radio.